We are not the same. The playing ground is not Lemusa. We came from another kingdom. We are polythiomas. Do you understand? Meaning extensions of another kingdom. You see, Christians trying to live life, trying to do their business, do their job, run their career, and make progress by human skill. You are wasting time. Your mind must be upon the everlasting covenant. We are that proclamational truth. Wherever God has sent you, listen, this is the message that will give meaning to your Christian experience. Without this, there is no purpose. And when an experience does not have a purpose, there is confusion and abuse. You cannot plan to reign without this revelation. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, sir. The level of your dominion is a reflection of your level of skill in the doctrine of righteousness. Fortunate to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessing symbolized by the feast. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. Hallelujah. We began our discourse last week by establishing very, very foundational truth. And that foundational truth is taken from the first part of the 21st verse of Numbers 23. When it says, the Lord has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. And then because of that, the Lord his God is with him. That is the foundation of the Lord's presence and the foundation of the shout of the king in their midst. Because he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness. And that we began to examine last week about the spiritual significance of that kind of statement. If you know anything about the children of Israel, it is impossible for God, for there not to be iniquity in their camp, and for there not to be perverseness in their camp. But see, the prophet, very strange man who was called Balaam, a very strange man. You know, time has not permitted me to go into an exposition of the character of the man. That is not our focus. But the background was the king of Moab, or the prince of Moab, who is called Balak, who paid a prophet, a seer prophet, whose name was Balaam, to curse the children of Israel. Very significant. And just a little digression, it shows the spirituality of life. Yes, sir. That words spoken can empower a people to fail. Yes, sir. That someone can pay a person to speak words. To the carnal man in 21st century, words are nothing. Words are just what you use. But you see, men of ancient times understood the power of the tokens of the spirit. The power of the substance in the unseen realm. They understood the interplay of activities in the realm that gave birth to this realm. So they don't take it lightly. A prince paid a prophet to speak words. He said, curse for me these people, and I will honor you with great honor. And the prophet told him, he said, make erect altars and put sacrifices upon them and stand by your sacrifice. In life, every man that wants to make progress must stand by his sacrifice. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, as saints, as believers, we must understand that, look, we stand by his sacrifice. The Bible says the lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. God does not dwell in time. That means as we are talking, the lamb is being slain. Yes, the blood is fresh. The sacrifice is fresh. Are you listening to me? The Bible says we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens. He lives and carries out his ministry in that heavenly sanctuary. Yes, the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession. What does it mean, ever liveth? That is present continuous. That means as you are seated at Glory Zone Church this morning, you have a high priest in the heavens. In the presence of that fresh blood, of that stainless sacrifice, he has my name on his lips. That is why I will never fear when man can take my name to the earth. Because no matter what they do, their own priest is corrupted. Their shrine is on the earth. I have a high priest. The Bible says he's passed into the heavens. We have a high priest in the heavens. We have a shrine in the heavens. Are you here? You now understand why all through scripture is very clear. Fear not. Fear not. You read again and again. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. We have a high priest. We have a perfect sacrifice. The location of our shrine cannot be seen by men. So no matter what they do here, when we operate from there, is nullified. The Bible said they shall surely gather. So the gathering is not news. When you have it, I've had a dream before. I was digging my grave. Was it a dream or a trance? I was digging a grave. Then someone told me, say, that is your grave that you are digging. And I told the person, I said, I cannot die now. It cannot be my grave that I'm digging. It must be your own. That was almost 20 years ago. I'm still here. Are you listening? We have a high priest. See, I have a high priest. He has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Christ of God. The Christ of God. So, spiritual lesson there. Words are important, and every man must stand by his sacrifice. Meaning, you must understand the power. You must be conscious of the sacrifice by which you are standing. He says, speak words. He said, curse them for me. How is he going to curse them? To use words to manipulate the heavens so that the earth can begin to work against them. Are you listening to me? The same way when we say blessings, we are saying we use words to manipulate the unseen realm so that the earth can work in your favor. But you see, as a believer, you must place premium. You must place importance on the significance of spiritual things. We're just reading Psalm 89. Is there a curse for me, these people? And then this man stood, and then for him to curse, he will open his mouth and blessings will come out. And he told him, says, I cannot curse. He has blessed, I cannot reverse it. He has blessed, I cannot reverse it. Balaam declared that God had blessed the children of Israel. He said, when he brought them out of Egypt, they had, as it were, the strength of a white ox. Why? The blessing. The power of the blessing. From the Passover to the unleavened bread, to the first fruit, to the Pentecost. It was empowerment. He says, they are blessed, I cannot reverse it. And then he saw a vision in the spirit. And he saw that God has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. And we began to explain that, look, the victory that was explained in the second part, or that was expressed in the second part, that the Lord is God is in their midst, and the shout of the king is, the Lord is God is with him, and the shout of the king is in their midst, is on the foundation of that imputed righteousness. Are you getting it now? That was how we got into talking about righteousness. Because it's not possible that the children of Israel did not have sins. But the Bible says he has not beheld iniquity. That was the type of the righteousness of faith. He has not seen perverseness in Israel. That was the type of the righteousness of faith. He has not seen it. Why? Chapter 24. I believe I showed it to you last week. Chapter 24. Balaam saw another vision. He said, how goodly are the dwellings of Jacob. He said, for they dwelt in their tent according to their tribes. And I showed you a picture of what Balaam saw, a picture of what God saw from heaven, that he could not behold their iniquity and he could not see their perverseness. Do you have the picture, media? Do you have the picture? Can we access it very quickly? The picture of the cross. Okay, just put it up. Let me still show you. Glory to God. Meaning that was all God saw. And blessings poured. That shows us something. That because of the cross of Jesus, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we are recipient of his blessings. When God sees us, he pours the blessing. Not just blessings, the blessing. That supernatural empowerment to do well and to walk in dominion on the earth. Okay, as they are searching it. Alright, can you see it? This was the dwelling of the children of Israel. Amazing. This is the picture. If you read Numbers 24, if you read Exodus and Numbers, and you arrange them the way they were arranged, they were abiding according to their tent, you see a picture of the cross. In the center was the tent of meeting, surrounded by the tribe of Levi. To the south, you have Reuben and the other sons. to the east, you have Reuben and the other sons. To the west, let me get it right. This is you have Judah and the other sons. They were more in number, so it was longer, forming the longer arch of the ark. Amazing. God was using them to preach the gospel. I told you everything about scripture is Christ and his redemptive work. So their tent, their abiding in their tent was a picture of the cross. When you look from the sky, you see the sign of the cross. That's what God saw. And then this is the north. You have Dan and the sons of the servants. And then to this side, you have Reuben and the other sons of Leah. And up you have the sons of Rachel. That's Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. Amazing. Amazing. That was what he saw. Abiding in their tent. A picture of the cross, which is the legal foundation for the righteousness of faith. Glory to God. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together? Yes, all right. So, this is how we began to talk about righteousness. And then we went to Hebrews 5 verse 13, to talk about being skillful in the word of righteousness. I'll need to walk very fast. I need to move very fast. Being skillful in the word of righteousness. I'm going to say, in this kingdom, it is impossible to reign without being skillful in the word of righteousness. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. It says, if by one man's offense death reigned, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign. Hallelujah. Shall reign. Okay. So we see reigning or dominion again connected to righteousness. Hallelujah. So the level of your dominion on the earth is a reflection of the level of your skill in the doctrine of righteousness. No man ever arose to anything. I said in the first service, every man who is standing tall in God has a revelation of God's abundant grace and the gift of righteousness. It may not be their emphasis, but they know it. Did you get that? Tracking from the Old Testament, every man who ever stood to do mighty things with God, from Noah to Abraham to Samuel to David, they have the understanding of the righteousness of God, of the gift of righteousness, and of the abundance of grace. Hallelujah. We dissected to camping around two men, a little around two men, Abraham and David. Abraham being referred to as father, David being referred to in scripture as the king. Amen. I'm going to say they were an embodiment of the two dimensions of God that every believer must understand. Number one, the fatherhood of God. Number two, the kingship of God. And the other way means the fatherhood of God as far as receiving from God is concerned, and then walking in kingly dominion on the earth as ambassadors of the kingdom. Are we together? And Jesus was referred to as the son of Abraham and the son of David. So no man ever arose in might, in power, in wisdom to do mighty things with God who did not have the revelation of righteousness, the revelation of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Talking about Paul, for example, Paul dominated nations. In fact, in Acts, when you read Acts 19 verse 20, the Bible was talking about Ephesus, that through the ministry of Paul, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Only him took the Gentile nations, stretching from the Middle East to Rome. Amazing. Verse 26. Give me verse 26. Acts 19:26. Look at Paul's exploit. Look at this. Moreover, you see, this was the complaint of the wicked men who were saying, look, those who made silver, they were silversmiths, who made idols for Diana. They were the ones complaining. He said, moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus. So we will think that only at Ephesus the word of God grew mightily and prevailed through the hands of Paul. But not only at Ephesus, almost throughout all Asia. A man almost subdued an entire continent. This Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made by hands. You think that was ordinary? Listen, every man will command exploit on the strength of his revelation of God. When you read Ephesians 2, he says, when you read my epistles, you will understand my sunesis, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The Greek word is sunesis. It means a fixed mental attitude. It means an understanding. It means a mental comprehension of a concept. That means there was an understanding that Paul had that sponsored his results. Are you following me? And part, a major part of that understanding is his revelation of the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Give me Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. To show you Paul's mind. To show you the reason for his exploit. The foundational understanding of his exploit. Look at this. And to be found in him. Start from verse 8. Let me show you something. Start from verse 8. He said, yeah, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may gain Christ. That means this man was lost in Christ. But look at his understanding of righteousness. Next verse. And be found in him. Hiya. Not having my own righteousness. I told you, nobody does any big thing without laying and anchoring and holding the righteousness of God. You must know it. You must understand it. And then, I forgot to mention this. I should say it at this time. You know, I use the word skillful, or scriptures use the term skillful in the word of righteousness. Back to the context. He says, for anyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He didn't say he's ignorant in the word of righteousness. There are two different things. So he uses skillfulness. And what does skill mean? Skill means to use the knowledge that you have precisely and intentionally to improve performance or outcome. That's what the skill is. So as far as the revelation of righteousness is concerned, as far as our knowledge of righteousness is concerned, it should have an impact on our day-to-day living. Are you listening? That means when we talk about the concept of God's righteousness, it's not just the head knowledge. Okay, I'm the righteous of God. You just vague someone. No. It's a skill. It's something you use in your day-to-day life. Are you getting it? This is why the scripture calls it being skillful in the doctrine of righteousness. That means the knowledge of the revelation of righteousness has application. Are you getting it? When you go to pray, if you understand righteousness, you will find the application there. When you stand before demons to cast them out, if you understand righteousness, you will find application there. When you stand before the mountains of life, if you truly understand righteousness, you will apply it there. Are we together? So Paul was skillful in the word of righteousness. Look at this. Look at this statement. And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. There are basically two kinds of righteousness. The righteousness of works and the righteousness of faith. Are you listening? The righteousness of works cannot carry anybody anywhere. That is a righteousness that the Bible says is like a filthy rags before God. He cannot stand. Righteousness is not good works. A thousand times no. Righteousness is not good works. Even though good works are important. Righteousness is not right living. No, that is at best holiness. Look at what he says. To be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is to the faith of Christ. And then he shows us the righteousness which is of faith, which is of God by faith. So the righteousness of Paul was the righteousness of faith. This is Paul the apostle talking on. The man that subdued Asia. You now see why I said the degree to which you reign is the degree of your skillfulness in the word of righteousness. Paul understood that, look, there are two kinds of righteousness. There's the righteousness of the law and there's the righteousness of faith that is conferred upon a man when he receives Christ. And with that righteousness, you can go to life. With that righteousness, you can stand before God. With that righteousness, you can stand before the powers of darkness, before the works of hell, and demand a change. Are you here? And a man of God was casting out the devil one day. And then the devil laughed. He said, have you not read in the Bible? Listen, this is why the Bible calls it skill. Skill. Do you understand? You can use the understanding for performance. The demon say, have you not read in your Bible that this one goeth not by fasting and prayer? What about the rice and chicken you just ate? No, imagine if you are not skillful in the word of righteousness. You know what the man told him? He said, there was one more, you didn't mention it. Get out. And the demon had to leave. Why? You do not stand before the works of darkness with your righteousness. He's a skill. He's a skill. God did not call us to argue with demons. When you are skillful in the word of righteousness, there's no argument. Oh, leave her alone. She's mine. Have you not seen the hair she's wearing? It's from the water spirit. It's mine. Leave her alone. And then you now say, Tom, bring scissors. So let's shake. Sister, this is what we've been telling people. Be careful the kind of hair you buy. You have bought air from water world now, marine world. Marine world air. You now shave the girl. You are ignorant. You are obeying Satan, not the word of God. Are you here? You, the pomade you are rubbing, do you know what he was dedicated to? Did you ask the manufacturer when you bought it from Ikena in the shop? He said, Oga, where was this thing bought from? He's a manufacturer, a Christian. They say somebody died and went to hell and came and said, oh, wow. Have you ever wondered why Oyibo people don't bring this revelation? It's Africans. Because they have mixed Christianity with superstition and idol worship. They say they had the revelation, they went to hell. They will not see Hitler there. It's your Jew they will see there. Hallelujah. Being skillful in the word of righteousness. You can use it. You can use it. You will know your authority and the range of your authority in the spirit realm. When you stand before the works of Satan, you know on whose name, by whose name, on whose authority you have come. You will know the garment that you are wearing. When you go to God in prayer, the foundation for making demands on the anointing, on the power of God will be clear. The righteousness of faith. Are you here? Even Paul said to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but having the righteousness which is of faith, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No man goes anywhere without that skill. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God forevermore. In Galatians 2:20, it was Paul that said, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Philippians 3:3, he said, we are of the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit. He said, we rejoice in the anointed one and his anointed, and we have no confidence in the flesh. This is Paul writing. No confidence in the flesh. I have a first class, but that is not the reason I will have a first class life. The blood of Jesus is the reason. No confidence in the flesh. You see, when there's a confidence in flesh, man takes the glory. When the confidence is on the cross, on Christ and him crucified, on the power power of resurrection, God has the glory. And there's no telling how much you can do, how much you can have, how much you can be. He said, we have the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in the anointed one and his anointed, Christ. And have no confidence, Paul, no confidence in the flesh. You know, Paul had tried these things out. He had tried these things out. You see, when you study Acts 23, Paul returned to Corinth from a place where he had had arguments with the, is it the Epicureans now? He had contended with them at intellectual level. He returned from Athens to Corinth. Thank you. He returned from Athens to Corinth. And in Athens, he was intellectual. He talked and talked and used their philosophers. Then from there, the Bible says, that's why we'll hear you again another day. The Bible says, just a few persons believed and attached themselves to Paul. Paul that used to convert an entire city. So from there, he returned to Corinth. That was why he was writing it to them in 1 Corinthians 2. I made up my mind that no more excellency of speech. He said, I was determined not to know anything among you but Christ and him crucified. He said, pen my speech and my preaching wherein Aliba Kosa, wherein the demonstration of the spirit and of power. He says, so that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the dunamis of God. He was coming from a place where he had tried arguing. He had tried to rely on his intellectual prowess. He saw the emptiness. He had tried to rely and have confidence in the flesh. He saw the emptiness. The thing is, okay, come back tomorrow. We'll hear you again. From there, he came to Corinth. As he was coming on the way, he was determined. He said, when I came, I was determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. Are you here this morning? Listen, make up your mind once and for all that my gaze is Christ and him crucified. The reason I will blaze through life is Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? This is the gospel. No confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. No confidence. Listen, Christianity is not behavioral reformation. No. Christianity is total life transformation. Christianity is not trying to modify a person. That's a waste of time. When the content of a man's spirit and the destiny of a man's soul has not changed, you are wasting your time. It's like decorating a dog. It's a decorated dog. It's in that dog to bark. One day, bingo go bark. Bingo is going to bark and bite. Glory to God. Our eyes are on him. Who is a Christian? A Christian is not someone who belongs to another religion. No. Who is a Christian? A Christian is not someone who belongs to a social club. No. A Christian is a fellow who is blood bought, Holy Ghost full, blood washed, empowered by the Spirit to represent a kingdom on the earth. And by the way, in case you don't know, in this world, there are many activities. Only two things are actually happening. As you are going out, you are seeing people driving, somebody collecting money, somebody eating food, somebody trying to toast a babe on the way. You know, when I drive, I say, God, somebody is trying to lie to somebody's daughter now. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll talk to my wife. I say, see love. Love under the mango tree. Amen. Hallelujah. You will see many things happening. You see somebody dancing, many activities. But when you break them down, only two things are happening. Number one, the advancement of Christ and his influence on the earth. And number two, the antagonism of Satan and his kingdom to sabotage the plan and purposes of God on the earth. Simple. Those are the two things happening. You are caught in between. You either choose to be part of the advancement, amen, are you here, or choose to partake of the antagonism of the kingdom of darkness. Only two things are happening. There are only two agendas in this world. When you know this, your life is in perspective. You live circumspectly. Only two things are happening. Only two things. There are only two agendas in this world. It is not more than two. Is it that it's advancing the influence of Christ and his kingdom in the hearts of men and in the sphere of human endeavor? Or is antagonizing the advancement of that agenda? Sabotaging the plan and purposes of God. That's all. So, whatever you're doing, you now begin to be mindful. Am I part of the advancement of this kingdom? Or am I participating in the antagonism of God's agenda? Only two things. Are we together?
Yes,
hallelujah. So that was Paul. If Paul had this consciousness, you must have it. No confidence in the flesh. My eye is on the righteousness of God. My eye is on the fact that when God looks from heaven, he cannot behold iniquity in Jacob. No perverseness in Israel. Hallelujah. My eyes on the righteousness of faith. He said, this was what Abraham, our father, found. This was what David saw when he described the blessedness of the man unto whom God will impute no sin. Glory to God forevermore. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, so let's step up our discourse to another layer. I want to bring another layer. The shout of a king. The shout of a king. Now, and I want to share in this second layer, I want to share on the posture that we take as believers to, you know, we are kings on the earth. Are we together? We are kings on the earth. And we are also here to represent the interests of the king. But see, there's a posture we must take to walk practically in that kingly dominion. There's a posture. To walk in that kingly dominion and by extension advance the agenda of God on the earth. There's a posture we must take. And I also call it the shout of the king. Okay? The posture for the shout and the victory of the king. Number one, write it down. Number one is the persuasions of a king. Number two, the proclamations of a king. Number three, the patterns of a king. Write it down. Write them down. Number one, the persuasions of a king. Number two, the proclamations of a king. Number three, the patterns or the manner of life of a king. If God is going to carry out his purpose on the earth, not through anyone else but the church. Listen, God's only method on earth is his ecclesia. God's only method on earth is his church, is you and I. That kingly dominion has to indwell us for us to carry out this agenda on the earth. If for us to live the life he wants us to live, the glorious, the wonderful life, and the life of dominion, that kingly royal spirit must dominate us. So I talk about, number one, what? The persuasions of a king. Hallelujah. The persuasions of a king. Are you blessed? There's a mindset of a king. So we have entered the second layer of the discussion. There's a mindset that the king must have. A mindset is a fixed mental attitude. You see, when we talk about persuasions, is on the inside. Are we together? Persuasion simply means convictions. It means to hold on to an opinion with complete assurance. That's what persuasion means. To hold on to an opinion with complete assurance. That is persuasion. As a believer, to walk in kingly dominion, you must have a persuasion that you are royalty. Listen, you can have a pseudo confession with a contrary experience. With a life on the outside that is in conflict, that conflicts with what you're saying. Amen. Why do believers have that? The reason is simple. No persuasions. The persuasions of the king is not there. Jesus has died for them. In fact, they are saved. But you see, to be saved is one level. To step into kingly dominion is another level. And that stepping into kingly dominion begins by having the convictions of a king. The persuasions of a king. Something must happen to your mind. Something must happen to your internal environment. And part of it is this revelation that is coming to you. But listen, developing this persuasion doesn't happen overnight. It takes continuous, repeated, focused, concentrated, protracted interface with the word of faith, the gospel of the word of faith, the word of God, the word of dominion, to give you that mindset. It does not happen overnight. Amen. You know the natural part of life, your background and your past will cast a lead on your mind. That's the natural path. But see, you would decide to break that lead, to break that limitation, and step into the fullness of the picture that God has on his mind. Remember at the beginning, I told you what God sees. That was my introductory statement. But in the mind of God, he doesn't see a poor, wretched weakling who is waiting to escape to heaven. That is not the picture of the believer that God sees. God sees a blessed, empowered fellow who has been set on the course on the earth to bring glory to Christ, to advance the agenda of the kingdom, to advance the interest of the kingdom of God, the values of the kingdom of God. Are we together? But you see, building that persuasion takes commitment and it takes time. You must be committed to build the persuasions of a king. Listen, your mind can limit God. Your internal environment can limit the flow of the king through you. It can. They limited him in the Bible. The Bible says they tempted him and limited the Holy One of Israel. Every time I read that scripture, I always pause to think, how could the Holy One of Israel be limited? You mean man can limit God? That's in his own life now. How could the Holy One of Israel be limited? He said they limited the Holy One of Israel. What happened? Their minds. What happened? They came out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. You know, there are two things. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt was in them. They came out of Egypt, which means they were born again in a figure. But the world was telling them the limitations of Egypt. They couldn't see themselves. Their minds had been so broken. They couldn't see themselves living in the promised land. They couldn't see themselves living without slave masters. The Lord had to pass them through the wilderness. The Lord had to set them precepts. Are we together? Your mind can limit you. Do something about it. Your internal environment can limit you. Do something about it. Listen, you will stay with the word of God until the picture of royalty is clear in your mind. Until your actions unconsciously shows that you are a king. Did somebody get that? Unconsciously, not the one you consciously say. That's why I talk about the pseudo confession and the contrary experience. You know, somebody can say, we cannot be poor. Three hours later, bros, what's happening? Where is so money? Kai, sister, I'm broke. I'm very broke. I don't even know what's happening in this country. Something has not happened to him. Are you with me? Something has not happened to him. Once that thing happens, it has nothing to do with what is on the outside. And like I said, it takes a commitment to get it done. There's a kingly expression we must give on the earth. But it begins with the persuasions. It begins with the conviction that, look, I am royalty. Not just saying it, but something shifts on your inside. Exposing your mind to the word of God. You know, a man called Andrew Womack. How many of you know Andrew Womack? Andrew Womack had been teaching from the 60s. I think the first time he raised the dead should have been in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. He worked with Kenneth Coleman. Amen. Some of you that have read his book. But see, he was... his voice was not heard. No influence, no global impact. In fact, the impact within the United States was small. I believe it was the 90s or so. I can't remember the exact time. God began to talk to him that, look, you are limiting me. You are limiting me. That means he was anointed. He had the sound teaching ministry. No impact. He wasn't blessing the people you're supposed to bless. And God told him, you are limiting me. for a period of time, is it 2 years or so, he sat down with specific scriptures to expand his mind. He will sit down with Kenneth Copeland's material and with specific scripture, meditating on them, declaring them, meditating on them. What was he doing? He was developing the convictions and the persuasion of the king. That was what he was doing. Until the scale broke off from his mind. And suddenly he was everywhere. The last time I checked, their monthly budget alone for media ministry was $6 million every month. No church. You know what $6 million is, please? In Naira, you know what it means? That's using 3 billion Naira every month. Just media outages. He had been preaching. What happened? The pictures in his mind had changed. What happened? His persuasions are changed. What happened? Suddenly he can see that the world is mine. Suddenly he could see that I am the seed of Abraham. I can touch the world with the gospel. Suddenly he can see that money is no longer a limitation. Suddenly he could see beyond that myopic view that his background and his past experience had cast on his mind. Are you here? Listen, if you grew up in a house where there was no car and it was difficult to buy a car, you think car is difficult to get. Are you listening? You think car is difficult to get. But you sit with the word, you hang around the right people until the mood is broken. Am I talking to someone? You will sit with God's word. Some will think visa and what do you call it? Flight ticket is from heaven. If you hear, but see, this is why the word of God is important. The ministry of the word over time gives you new pictures. And then when God arranges certain associations, subscribe to them, they may stretch you, but they will do something to you. Until the things that look so far become so close. And why are those things important? They are tools for the fulfillment of your destiny. Amen. Have it together. Expand your mind. Develop the persuasions of a king. Don't be a beggar. Begging contracts your personality. Tithe. It will give you, oh my goodness. Do everything you can to break the mold of lack, poverty, and servitude from your mind. Break it, shatter it. With your seed, with your protracted interface with the word, with hanging around the environment, do everything you can. Because God will be moving. It's like rain falling. It is a container you put that will determine the amount you get. God will move. If it's bucket you used to collect, it's bucket blessing. Are we together? So as we're releasing blessing, blessings, the hand of the Lord is upon you. You are breaking forth this year. Somebody is thinking of 500,000 naira. 200,000 naira, and God will bring it, and it should be a testimony. But is that all? When we say the mercy of the Lord is showing you favor. You can either think of house rent or think of property. Now, the question is, why can't you think of a property now? The mold and the lead from the background and from the past, from the expectation that the culture has created. That's all. That's all. It becomes the default setting. You have, listen, what I'm saying is serious. So as we are shouting destiny, destiny, if nothing is done about developing the persuasions of royalty, you will see that in your life God is limited. You will rise and say, Lord, not me. I break this mold and do everything to step out in your internal environment. Yes, sir. Nobody goes anywhere with God. Nobody goes far with God without passing through this pathway. And by the way, the spirit of poverty has nothing to do with how much you have in your account. You may have, as you are sitting, may have 20 million in your account. If that pain is still on you, it will work it out. In the process of time, you will go back to zero. Are we there? Or when the mold is broken, Malaka Pataya. You know I'm royalty. You are no longer part of the masses. You know if they put the weight of everybody together, you are heavier. We, the poor masses, are saying you are wrongly thought. A Christian doesn't talk like that. You don't belong to the poor masses. Your mouth is betraying you. You are confusing your spirit. Are we together? I am royalty. The Bible says we are called to inherit a blessing. I am not a hustler, sir. I am called to inherit. I'm a prince of power with God. Princes don't hustle. They inherit a throne. Are you with me this morning? Praise God. The persuasions of a king. Let them stretch you. Let them stretch you. Let them stretch you. Years ago, when we moved to this place, that was God setting me up. I knew. And I knew how God moved, so I yielded. You know, now there's main hall, there's overflow. You have a lot of people coming to church. We're about 200 people, mostly students, a little above 200. That's years ago. More than 5 years now. And then we're looking for church venue because we wanted where we can have offices and just lease. You know, I knew this place was here. But I'd been here 2 years earlier for that other smaller hall. They told me 2.2 million and I ran away. My head could not take it. That was 2 years before that time. As Yaba, for what? And you know, you'd be never defend poverty in your life. Do not defend poverty. Now the same place will have it as overflow. Are you listening? Amen. Young man in my 20s. I knew this place was there. I said, go around, look for church venue. And they came there. I said, no, his things are expensive. Amen. I said, the horse, yes, I look at a small hall. They told me 2 years ago. That was then. Went to one shop. They said they will break it down to combine it. And they were asking for 1.5 million. So I now sat down. When I got to the place where God told me, go to Corinjo House. You will find the hall. I argued. I said, sir, things are expensive. You know, talking to God sometimes. Sir. That was years ago. And God said, go. The moment I walked up, I was standing. I don't know whether you're the one that was with me. I stood there. God told me, say, this is the place. This is the hall. Went to the owner. I said, we can't give this place out. When God has spoken, he's not, those things of him. The same day I went back, I said, sir, you need to give us your hall. He just looked at me, he said, can you pay? I said, Haba, what an insult. Can I pay? As I was talking like that, only maybe 200,000 was in a ministry account. And our brother, his book, he says, it's 3.24 million. You remember? It's 3.24 million for the hall. And I said, okay. You know what I said? I said, we'll take it. Oh. Let God stretch you. Let God stretch you. I went to our small church. I did not announce to the church. I called a few leaders. I said, we have found, if you announce a church, you don't know who is in church. That will insult you as a young man. I just called the leaders. I said, we have found the hall. And thank God for the kind of leaders I've always had. I said, we found the hall. It's 3.2 million. I said, glory. Pastor, we can pay. We'll go release our faith now. I said, yeah, that's it. Glory to God. And the rest is history. We began to give. In fact, he now called out, okay, young man, you're doing something nice. Okay, it's still 3.2 million. No? But if you have 2 million, give me, move in, pay me the balance in a few months. I said, no problem. Can I shock you? At the time we were paying him, we had over 3 point something million. We just gave him his 2 million, since that was all he said. I'm telling you. Amen. We went on radio the same month, fixed place, do things, bought things, sold seed. Glory to God. Are you here? Now, why did I not return back? If someone told me, say, $3 million, you have 3 million. One plot of land here is 1.2 million. Just buy 1.5 plots. Just raise zinc and put people. I say, I will not raise zinc members. That's what I say. I will not. And I can tell you what has happened to the minds of people. There are people who stepped into millions, our brethren, because we came here. God does not have money problem. Our minds are the problem. Sit. God doesn't have money problem. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I knew God was stretching me. Interestingly, the same year was the year I got married. Amen. Your mind. Persuasions of a king. Let God stretch you. Amen. You hang around people that are stretching you. Don't insult them. Celebrate them. I've told you a story before. My salary was 180,000 naira as a young medical doctor. I went to hang around a friend of mine who had broken into tens of millions. I said, yeah, that is my wife's shoes, 150,000. Say this back. He was happy. I laughed. Amen. His wife's shoes was 150. Her shoes, like a few of them, 150,000. He bought them for her. Glory to God. It's not here, say. Amen. I did not insult him and run away. I sat there to expand my mind. Are you listening? It's your response. It's your response. Glory to God. It's your response. You know, last year we were going to Dubai. We had planned to follow Etihad from Lagos. It's cheaper. You just fly from here to Lagos. You pay. And then something happened. We could not go. And then my friend said, let's fly Emirates now. Something happened in my heart. I knew how much. I knew how much. But I told myself, this opportunity to stretch. The experience and the stretching is worth more than the money. Are you here? Yes, we flew Emirates to and fro. Are you here? Glory to God. You let them stretch you. Hallelujah. Do I stay after? Are you enjoying yourself? Amen. You know, Jesse Duplantis said he was a preacher. He was a preacher. He loved God. If I'm preaching prosperity, but he was still broke. You know, the gap is that internal environment, that persuasion. That persuasion of the soul. That persuasion. It has nothing with what you have on the outside or not. That persuasion of the soul is important in walking in kingly dominion. Are you here? The same thing in ministering the supernatural. After fasting and praying, you have to step out. Yes, are you listening? You have to step out. Do your part. You have to step out. You will lay hands on the cancer and tell it to evaporate. You will lay hands. You will carry the cripples and tell him to walk. Yes, how many of you are around last year? Was it last year or 2 years ago? A cripple guy that brought after service that walked to and fro here 2 years ago. Just took him up. Hallelujah. And that's stretching. That's stretching. I've ever gone to mortuary to pray among dead bodies. You are shouting. You are among dead bodies shouting. La pata. We have done it. Yeah, not the ones you came to pray for. Not the one. There are other dead bodies around. Many. And you are standing there sniffing formalin and shouting. Shabato kepalata. Are you listening? That's God stretching you. If it didn't work the first time, it will work very soon. Developing the persuasions of the king. Listen, know the sound code for life. Oh, yes, know the sound code. Life punishes the timid and honors the bold. That means it has nothing to do with what you have in your hand. Express the boldness of faith. Amen. He said, you don't go to a place maybe because I'm a preacher. I've met top government officials. My body language makes them bend from you without knowing who I am. You come give a good graph, Your Excellency, sir. You hold the hand and shake it. Respectfully, but with boldness. Are you listening? Hi. Let's go. Are you here? Life punishes the timid and honors the bold. Never forget that. The persuasions of the king. You see, as a business person, there are places where not to be doing kwele kwele. Be respectful, but go there with the persuasions of the king. Stand bold, stand tall, stand knowing that you have a sacrifice backing you, and train yourself so. Learn to look people in the eye. Learn to give them a firm handshake. Some of you are raised. You say, don't look people. That thing is timidity. Timidity. It's not in the Bible. It's timidity and poverty. When people talk to me, I want them, look me in the face. Just be respectful and honoring, that's all. Hallelujah. Especially in the marketplace. When you begin to do that, you see that there are resources. There are resources. People will begin to commit things to your hand. Why? That audacity and boldness is a currency. People know, you know, you are saying, okay, there's this investment I want to do, it's 20 million, and then your body is shaking. I can't give you 20 million. You don't look like someone who has 20 million. If somebody slaps you and take 1 million, you will faint. You have to stand. You know, there's something they used to do. There's something, you know, in the inner caucus of politics they used to do. That if you come as a millionaire, you want to be governor of some state, and you meet the godfathers, what they do is, they'll tell you to bring, is it 10 million or 20 million? And then they'll put fire and be throwing your bundles of money inside. I said, do you still want to be governor? They'll be throwing the money inside fire. You know what they are saying? They are checking your heart. You have heart. Burn your 10 million before your eyes first. I'm sure you never heard this before. Do you have heart? Can you sleep if 10 million is missing? I am coaching you. Are you still here? Listen, you will know that money is figure and paper. Figure and paper. Nothing intimidates you. Are you here? Sit. The persuasions of the king. You see, you train your mind. You bend life. Life doesn't bend you. Persuasions of a king. Hallelujah. Persuasions of a king. Are you blessed this morning? Persuasions of a king. Persuasions of a king. You know, Jesse Duplantis said he had been preaching Oyo's Brook. So he started visiting. He had this family friend. He just got connected. They were just friends that just met somewhere. They were Jewish family. Older Jewish family. They were not even Christian. I think they were practicing Judaism or something. Also, but sometimes those people don't even have to be Christians. They just come to fulfill a ministry in your life at that season. He said he'll go there as he's sitting on the couch. They say, that couch is $2 million. Couch like this. This was the couch that Prince Charles used, that King Frederick used in 1795. In 1825, I said, see this chandelier? He said, initially, he felt, were they trying to just rubbish his poverty on his face? But see, by the spirit, he was there. By the spirit, he just felt, okay, these are nice people. I should be around them. When they sit down, so you see that cup, that shelf there? It was used by King Alexander the VII. It cost $100,000. This couch, $50,000. This chair that you are seeing, it was a rocking chair. Of King Andrew the III is $150,000. But he said it did something to his mind. And over time they tell you, there's an artifact, just buy it now. He'll gather money. I think it was a major money that came to his hand, maybe $20,000. He used it to buy an artifact. At the time he was talking, he said, just his house alone. Just his house. The things are in his house, in the sitting room alone. Some of those artifacts, people came to value them and it was like $26 million. That's him now, over after many years. So sometimes environment that stretch your mind. Listening to people that stretch you out of your comfort zone. Because in this life, to go far, you must stretch. You must get out of your comfort zone. Chances are that your background and your past experience have cast a lead on your mind. You'll be deliberate in breaking those molds. And it's a level, there are molds that I'm breaking. Glory to God. You break. As you enter new levels, you break them. You shatter them. You scatter them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has to be deliberate. At the point I was in school, I told myself, I will never wear fairly used. It's not because there's something wrong with it. I had enough of it growing up. Practically, that was all we lived on. I said, never. I only have two clothes. As a student, I decided, I had few clothes, but they were original. If I'm buying suit, if you don't say 40,000, I have passed. No jacket, not even suit. If you mention this one is 20,000, it's not for me. Are you listening? Was it because I keep money somewhere? It's part of the training of my mind. Because I knew where I was coming from. Are you listening? And there are seasons you have to do that. There are seasons. Some of you, certain restaurants intimidate you. In Jaws, what will you do when you go to Dubai? Or when you go to the UK? In Jaws. Listen, young people, there should be no restaurant in Jaws where you cannot sit down, at least to drink water. Enter there, say, give me water. Sit down. I'm helping somebody. Are you here? When you are passing a place and it's as though it's intimidating you, enter it. If it's a boutique and it's intimidating you, enter it. Buy singlets. Buy a socks. Are you here? Enter the place and break the mold. Just is too small for there to be a boutique that you cannot enter. Just is too small for there to be a restaurant you can't enter. How? You may not have the money, no problem. Enter, at least you can buy water. Let the water be 1,000. Give them the 1,000. Say, I drank water of 1,000 naira. You have entered. Kabaye. Are you here? I know the Holy Ghost is doing a surgery on somebody's mind. The Holy Ghost is doing a surgery. The Holy Ghost is enlarging somebody's capacity. The Holy Ghost is strengthening somebody's conviction. The persuasions of a king rise to your feet. I'm out of time. Speak in tongues. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Just speak in tongues where you are. Just take the words you have learned and pray them. Pray them into your heart. Pray them. Malatoskepa. He said, the Lord shall cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He shall feed you with the heritage of your father Jacob. Shabalatoskepa. Malaga bronda sushta. Shalaga bronda. Haroba laraba. Shakapatoko brakapos. Rakapatosa. Shakapatosa. Rabadaladabos. Ragabaladabos. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for the entrance of your word that has given us light, that has given us understanding. This is the least we'll ever be. We rise in the kingly anointing. In the name of Jesus. We rise in dominion. In the name of Jesus. We rise in strength. We rise in wisdom. In the name of Jesus. We rise to represent our King unstoppably. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you glory. If you have your expectations, just leave them off. You have your expectations. What do you expect of the Lord in the second half of the year? Just leave them off. Faith is most powerful when desire is specific. Malakode balakata. If you wrote it in your journal, you wrote it in the paper, fold the paper and lift it up. The fire of God is going to come upon it. You wrote it in a journal. If you can tear that part out, and hold it or lift up the journal. If you typed it on your phone or your tablet, just lift it up. Expectation. If it's 2 things, 3 things, 5 things, I say maximum 5 things, preferably. The power of God is going to come upon those things. Lagabalatos. You see, some of the things you have written, it will take the supernatural power of God working miracles to make it come to pass. And guess what? It's going to come to pass. Oh, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. I don't know who wrote property or a land in the list. It's coming to pass. The Lord will give you a land this year. In the name of Jesus. Who is the person? You wrote property or a land. Just wave your hand. Part of your expectation was a land or a property. Raise your hand. I speak in the name of Jesus. This is the first thing that the Lord is talking about. I speak in the name of Jesus that the Lord will turn and overturn until the properties come to your hand. In the name of Jesus. And I speak in the name of Jesus, your expectations are exceeded. Your expectations are exceeded. About the property, your expectations are exceeded. lift your expectations up. Father, those of you in the overflow, in the overflows, lift your expectations up. Those of you online, you can lift your expectations up. Rabadolato sepata. Liga pora dileto sabalati. I lift it up, speak in tongues. Jalia toskepa. Hila kopa. Repetos ebalita. Jalia tobatosa. Lendos epratos epalita. Jalia topata. Ribalalo shepato. Likos eprando sipataya. I command the release of the host of heaven. I command the release of the angelic host. I command the release of the messengers of heaven. I command the release of the ministry spirits. Ligo paratosepa. To begin to look through the list. To begin to look through the expectations. To begin to look through the list. To begin to act. To begin to cause performance. To begin to make them come to pass. To begin to mobilize the men, the monies, the opportunities, the favorable circumstances to make your expectations come to pass. In the name of Jesus. I speak tonight by the authority of heaven. Every connection that you need, every finances that you need, every circumstance that you need, every orchestration that you need for these expectations to be turned into testimonies, I release them to you in the name of Jesus. I release them to you in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy that as you go through the second half of the year, you'll be ticking them one after the other. You'll be ticking them down, down, down. In the name of Jesus. And I speak to someone listening to me. The Lord has exceeded your expectations. In the name of Jesus, for the marital expectation, the Lord has exceeded it. For that business expectations, the Lord has exceeded it. For that scholarship, the Lord has exceeded it. For that property expectation, the Lord has exceeded it. For that spiritual expectation, concerning your walk of faith, concerning the ministry of the Lord upon your life, your expectations are exceeded. In the name of the Lord Jesus, go and return with testimonies. Go and return with testimonies. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Can you rejoice at the answers to your prayer? Is that the best way you can rejoice? Rejoice at the answers. Rejoice at the answers. Glory! Woo! Glory! Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. If you are giving your tithe, just rush forward. The rest of you package your offerings very fast. Amen.
Yeah. Can we celebrate our senior pastor? Come on, can you celebrate our senior pastor? Thank you so much, sir.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.